RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, welcome back to English Bulletin over at the World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by news across the country, Today in History, Highlight of the Week, Week in Review, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miss Eleni. We'll conclude our program for today with Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first day headlines. No Indonesian citizens among Paris attack victims. Pertamina strengthens Indochina lubricants market. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi confirmed that there were no Indonesian citizens who became the victims in the series of deadly attack in Paris on Friday. She also said that the Foreign Affairs Ministry had received no report on Indonesian citizens who became the victims in the tragedy. The Indonesian embassy in Paris continued to find any information on the possibility of Indonesian citizens who become the victims in the incident. Minister Retno said in a press conference at Hotel International Comfort, or IC, in Antalya, Turkey, on Saturday. The ministry had already coordinated with related sites shortly after the incident. There are 5 hotlines provided in Paris and the Office of the Foreign Affairs Ministry in Jakarta, she said, adding that those 5 hotlines function well. During the G20 summit, Indonesia would bring the issue of ways to deal with terrorism. She added President Joko Widodo will stress the importance of international cooperation in battling corruption. No country is safe from terrorism, so the best way to tackle it is through cooperation. Following the deadly terrorist attacks that claimed more than 100 people in Paris, the French embassy in Jakarta, Indonesia, was closely guarded by the Indonesian police. In front of the entry gate, a patrol car was parked and several police officers were on patrol, along with 2 security personnel. Security checks were also in place for anyone who is going inside the building. The French flag was raised at half-mast to mark the tragedy that struck on Friday evening. In the meantime, France Ambassador to Indonesia Corinne Bruce said that she thanked the Indonesian police for their response and assistance. She expressed her grateful to Indonesian police at the embassy in Jakarta on Saturday. Meanwhile, many institutions and offices in France are closed for 3 days following the attacks. France President François Hollande has also instructed the temporary closure of the borders. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. A subsidiary of PT Pertamina Persero, Pertamina Lubricants Thailand, would continue to strengthen lubricants market to Indochina, such as Cambodia, Laos, Myanmar, and Bangladesh. Director of PT Pertamina Lubricants Thailand, Budi Suharyanto, said in Bangkok, Thailand, over the weekend. Market share of Pertamina Lubricants Thailand in Indochina and Bangladesh, especially in automotive, was targeted 10,500 kiloliters in 2015. Meanwhile, for Thailand, the target was 6,600 kiloliters per year. Installed capacity of production of Pertamina Lubricants Thailand currently reached 6,600 kiloliters per year. Moreover, storage tank capacity reached 1,600 km or 19 units tank, and tank blending was 200 kiloliter or a total of 14 units. Budi explained, export to China to Indochina countries were easily accessible by land and sea. The permission process was also fast and efficient. The peace agreement, ending a three-decade-old armed conflict in the westernmost Indonesian province of Aceh, has brought meaning to the local people's welfare, Vice President M. Yusuf Kalla said. He said in his scientific address to a function marking his inauguration of honoris causa doctorate degree at Syed Kuala University, Banda Aceh, Saturday. Kalla said in 1990, Aceh had a poverty rate of 11.5%, far lower than the national poverty rate of 19.6%. 3 years before the signing of the peace agreement in August 2005, the poverty rate in Aceh increased threefold to 29.8%, making it one of the provinces with the highest poverty rate, along with Papua, West Papua, Maluku, and East Nusa Tenggara. The university bestowed the honoris causa doctorate degree on the vice president in recognition of his role in mitigating the impact of the deadly tsunami on December 26, 2004, and negotiations leading to the signing of the peace agreement in Helsinki in August 2005. The last item. A team of civil engineering students from the Bandung Institute of Technology ITB Kuya Navinata initiated an idea to make new island from Lapindo mud disaster site in Surabaya, East Java. The projected island, Lotus Island, is envisioned to be built near Kenjeran Beach, Surabaya, East Java. Study on the mud's chemical and physical properties shows that it is still below the quality standard for waste. Mario Hartono, a member of the team, told the press recently, Lotus Island is designed to have a shape of lotus on 512-hectare land using eco-friendly concept. The reclamation of Palm Island in Dubai, Arab Emirates, is said to have inspired the idea to build this 1.5 trillion rupiah island. Because of its location near Suramadu Bridge that connects East Java to Madura Island, Lotus Island will be made to have 4 zones including housing, tourism, port and fisheries zones. The concept has won the 2015 National Scientific Writing Competition, which was held late October at Hasanuddin University, Makassar. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. No Indonesian citizens among Paris attack victims. Pertamina strengthens Indochina lubricants market. That was the news.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back with me, Steve, on our weekly segment, News from Across the Country, presenting you various interesting events from across the country during the week. Listener, the first news comes from Surabaya, East Java. The U.S. Consul General in Surabaya commemorated Heroes Day 2015 to discuss heroism with the figures who represent two generations, namely Captain Mukari, 91 years old, and 5 young heroes. The U.S. Consul General in Surabaya, Heather Variava, said at Consulate Building in Surabaya last Tuesday that Heroes Day is an important day for Indonesia and Surabaya particularly. Therefore, the City of Hero also commemorates it. The heroism discussion theme Heroes Among Us featured 6 speakers, namely Captain Mukari and Korps Cacat Veteran Indonesian Veteran Disabled Korps, graphic designer Fitroni Amirul Ramadhani, handicraft man Muhammad Taufik, fashion designer Puji Lestari, wrestling athletes Muhammad Edi, and athletic coach Slamet Santoso. The 5 young heroes came from Yayasan Arek Lintang or Alit Surabaya Foundation that have been awake from the dark past like street children, dropout teenagers, and marginal people. The next news comes from Yogyakarta. Yogyakarta City Health Service, in cooperation with non-profit institutions, launched SMS Bunda to raise the awareness of pregnant mothers and mothers of 2 years old to keep their health. Head of Yogyakarta Health Service, Vitalia, said in Yogyakarta last Tuesday that pregnant and breastfeeding mothers need to know various conditions which are potential to harm the children's health that cause death. After all this time, Vita added, the death of pregnant mothers or when they deliver babies is caused by the lack of knowledge of mothers or families to respond to dangerous condition that is late to get medical treatment. Based on data of Yogyakarta City Health Service, there were 9 cases of maternal death, 52 babies and 10 children under 5 in 2013. In 2014, there were 2 cases of maternal death, 62 cases of babies death, and 10 deaths of children under 5. Until October this year, there were 5 cases of maternal death, 27 cases of babies and children under 5 death. The last news comes from Makassar, Sulawesi. Last Monday, the city of Makassar celebrated the 408th anniversary. In the celebration, Sulawesi Governor Syahrul Yassin Limpo hoped that the city of Makassar could become a prominent city of trade in Asia-Pacific. He said that the effort will be made by expanding Sultan Hasanuddin Airport threefold and building Makassar Newport to improve the capacity of Makassar as the city of trade and transportation not only for Indonesia but also Asia-Pacific. Furthermore, the government stated that although it grows rapidly as a modern city, Makassar should be able to maintain the cultural heritage of Sulawesi. Therefore, the governor reminded that Makassar City Administration encouraged the efforts of cultural heritage preservation. Listener, that ends news from across the country, from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. I'm Steve, thanks for listening.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with November 15, 1946, Linggarjati Agreement is signed. After the proclamation of Indonesian independence on August 17, 1945, the Netherlands immediately said it did not recognize it. The Dutch then tried to return to its former colony with British troops who came to disarm the Japanese occupational force. Later, England tried to bring Indonesia and the Netherlands to the negotiating table. On November 10, 1946, negotiations held between Indonesia and the Netherlands in Linggarjati, Cirebon. Indonesia was represented by Sultan Syahrir, Muhammad Rum, and some political figures, while the Dutch government was represented by Professors Mermerhorn, De Boer, and Van Poon. The contents of the agreement is the Dutch de facto recognition of the Republic of Indonesia with a territory covering Madura, Sumatra, and Jawa. Netherlands already had to leave the region de facto at the latest on January 1, 1949. The Netherlands and the Republic of Indonesia would work together to form a union state with the name Republic of Indonesia States. The Netherlands and the Republic of Indonesia would establish a Netherlands-Indonesian union with the Queen of the Netherlands as chairman. The result of these negotiations was signed at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on November 15, 1946 and legitimately signed by the two countries on March 25, 1947. Though this was not a final agreement on the status of Indonesia, it was recognized as one of the milestones in Indonesian struggle for independence. Over now to 1945, UNESCO is founded. The United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization is a specialized agency of the United Nations. Its purpose is to contribute to peace and security by promoting international collaboration through education, science and culture to further universal respect for justice, the rule of law and human rights along with fundamental freedom proclaimed in the United Nations Charter. It is the heir of the League of Nations International Committee on Intellectual Cooperation. UNESCO has 195 member states and 9 associate members. Most of its field offices are cluster offices covering 3 or more countries. National and regional offices also exist. UNESCO pursues its objectives through 5 major programs: education, natural sciences, social, human sciences, culture, and communication or information. Projects sponsored by UNESCO include international cooperation agreements to secure the World Cultural and Natural Heritage or World Heritage Sites, like Indonesia's world-famous Borobudur Buddhist Temple. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, welcome back to Highlight of the Week. In this week, we will discuss on simultaneous regional election coordination meeting. 1 month left before the simultaneous regional election, or Pilkada 2015 in Indonesia. Many had prepared at best. The committee and the relevant parties, such as General Election Commission or KPU, Home Affairs Minister, Election Supervisory Agency or Bawaslu, Finance Ministry, Law and Rights Ministry, also the police and army, keep coordinating to smoothen the election. Related to the issue, President Joko Widodo at Ecovention Ocean Eco Park in Ancol, North Jakarta on Thursday, November the 12th, during the coordination meeting of the simultaneous election, said the moment for simultaneous Pilkada will be a test and a precious lesson to face similar elections in 2017 and 2018. President also emphasized the election will be a great experience before facing the simultaneous national election in 2019. President hopes the regional government rotation will run safely, peacefully, honestly, and justly, also in accordance to the people's choice, so that the election can produce the chosen regional head and its deputy of high competence and integrity. For that, the president instructed the neutrality of the national police and national army to guard and oversee the Pilkada carefully to reduce threats during the election. Meanwhile, Home Affairs Minister Cahyo Kumolo asked all regional governments to provide help and facilitate the KPU during the simultaneous regional election 2015. The local democracy party must be held successfully, mainly because it implements political decentralization. Cahyo Kumolo also asserted on the Article 156 on the Act of 15-2011 on the general election. Simultaneous regional election is seen as the most democratic system where people directly choose their leader. By that, the people can also directly watch their government. Meanwhile, the head of General Election Commission or KPU, Hisnil Kamil Manik, said many regional KPU are yet to receive the second phase fund as agreed in the regional grant agreement. From the 269 regions to hold the election on December 9, 2015, only 102 had received full fund. Husni added the acceleration in the election logistic production in the mountain and island area is required to anticipate the long distribution time. For that, the cooperation and with stakeholders, police and army is necessary to smoothen the distribution. Meanwhile, the head of Electoral Supervisory Agency or Bawaslu Muhammad admitted there are 44 supervisors with disproportional fund. According to him, the supervisors are underestimated by the stakeholders. He said the energy of Bawaslu is spent on the fund only. National Police Chief General Badruddin Haiti said during the campaign of simultaneous Pilkada to be held in December, the police deploys half power only. According to him, the campaign period of the election is much softer and safer. However, the police chief added during the election silence, the government will increase their power. According to General Badruddin Haiti, the police will deploy 194,942 personnel with 11,008 from the army on December the 9th. Badruddin added since August 27, 2015, there were 689 electoral cases and 12 among them had been handled. According to him, most of the case is election violation, albeit many of them are actual crime. Well, listener, that was Highlight of the Week.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi confirmed that there were no Indonesian citizens who became the victims in the series of deadly attack in Paris on Friday. She also said that the Foreign Affairs Ministry had received no report on Indonesian citizens who became the victims in the tragedy. Following the deadly terrorist attacks that claimed more than 100 people in Paris, the French embassy in Jakarta, Indonesia, was closely guarded by the Indonesian police. In front of the entry gate, a patrol car was parked and several police officers were on patrol along with two security personnel. A subsidiary of PT Pertamina, Pertamina Lubricants Thailand, would continue to strengthen lubricants market to Indochina, such as Cambodia, Laos, Myanmar, and Bangladesh. The peace agreement ending a three-decade-old armed conflict in the westernmost Indonesian province of Aceh has brought meaning to the local people's welfare, Vice President M. Yusuf Kalla said. He said in his scientific address to a function marking his inauguration of honoris causa doctorate degree at Syekh Kuala University, Banda Aceh, Saturday. A team of civil engineering students from the Bandung Institute of Technology ITB, Kuyana Finata, initiated an idea to make new island from Lapindo Mart disaster site in Surabaya, East Java. Listener, that was news in brief.
Voice of Indonesia. Today's sounds. Listener, welcome to Weekend Review, featuring several events that happening during this week. Stay tuned. On Sunday, November the 8th, 2015, Navy spokesman Commodore M. Zainuddin said the Indonesian Navy has sent 7 warships to the Natuna waters in the province of Riau Islands to safeguard the country's territorial waters. He denied that it was done to anticipate the escalation of the situation in South China Sea. Indonesia, according to him, is not involved in the conflict in South China Sea. The Indonesian Navy only safeguards Indonesia's sovereignty and defense. He said only 3 ships would stand by in the Natuna waters, while the 4 others would be in Tanjung Uban Naval Base. Commodore Zainuddin added, the Indonesian Navy conducts patrol every day with regard to safeguard its sovereignty and defense in the eastern as well as western regions involving more than 40 warships. On the same day, Monday, digital technology combined with art had opened a new chance for West Java province to elevating itself as the center of digital art in Southeast Asia. This was stated by West Java Vice Governor Deddy Mizwar in an interview with Voice of Indonesia on Sunday at the landmark Braga Building, Bandung, West Java.
Ini jadi kiblat digital art nih ke Jawa Barat khususnya.
West Java should be the center of digital art to win the competition in creative economic sector in Indonesia and Southeast Asia. I think this is the first time digital art festival was held in Southeast Asia. Hopefully, with a proper education in this sector, West Java, Bandung specifically, could be the center of digital art in Indonesia, even in Southeast Asia. Furthermore, Deddy Mizwar explained that many popular universities in Bandung should be able to deliver human resources in digital art field that are able to raise West Java to be the center of digital art, not only in Indonesia, but also in Southeast Asia. Deddy Mizwar hopes in the Bandung International Digital Art Festival, visitors can learn and enjoy more about digital art. On Monday, November 9, 2015, Minister of Education and Culture, Anies Baswedan, attended the 50th meeting of ASEAN Committee on Culture and Information in Surabaya, East Java. In his speech, Minister Anies emphasized the need to maintain unity and togetherness in any differences to respect fellow members of ASEAN. He added that currently many countries are fascinating, but they cannot sit together as the ASEAN countries in creating a peaceful atmosphere. Therefore, according to Minister Anies Baswedan, what is being built today is the foundation of to foster the civilization of culture for next generations. On the same day, Monday, Commission 1 of the House of Representatives, DPR, is expecting Indonesia to lead the South China Sea
issue that is now under heated conditions after ASEAN failed to issue a common consensus on the issue. The last situation encourages Indonesia to launch 7 warships of the Republic of Indonesia to Natuna waters. Members of Commission 1 Arief Sudhitomo said to RRI that his side is hoping the importance of regional harmonization, starting from diplomatic approach through the channels of global diplomacy, such as the APEC forum. He also pointed out that without the participation of Indonesia, as it is senior enough and quite dominant in ASEAN, Indonesia will not could make the issue of the South China Sea as a common issue. According to him, South China Sea issue is a real issue in the region, especially ASEAN. On Tuesday, November 10, 2015, Minister of Agriculture Andi Amran Sulaiman said at a national seminar in Jakarta that the Indonesian government is moving toward modern agriculture in an effort to ensure farmers' welfare in the future. He remarked that the government has increased production and ensured farming throughout Indonesia. He added, a shift toward modern agriculture will lead to an increase in production. The production has reached 4 million tons. According to Minister Amran, various programs have been conducted by the government to improve Indonesians' welfare. With the current program, he noted, the government does not have to import rice this year. The national seminar was also attended by National Awakening Party, PKB Chairman, Mohaimin Iskandar. On the same day, Tuesday, Indonesian government will highlight the cooperation agreement for trade in services at the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation APEC Summit in Manila, the Philippines, in November 18th to 19th. The state was delivered by Trade Minister Thomas Lembong while updating Vice President Yusuf Kalla on Indonesia's preparations for the APEC summit in Jakarta on Tuesday. Minister Lembong stated the main agenda that had been proposed and undertaken last year was an agreement for trade in services. A ministerial-level cooperation agreement had been reached in the Asia-Pacific region through the APEC service agreement. Earlier, the Indonesian government had planned to raise 3 main issues at the APEC summit. The statement was delivered by Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Elpimarasudi while reporting to Vice President Yusuf Kalla in Jakarta on Tuesday. On Wednesday, November 11, 2015, 2 Royal Australian Navy-run warships, HMAS Arunta 151 and HMAS Sirius 266, departed for Java Sea to participate in the New Horizon 2015 joint exercise. The Australian warships were seen off by operations assistant to the commander of the Indonesian Navy Base 5, Colonel Daniel Muji Rahadi, at Surabaya's port of Tanjung Perak. For the 2-day exercise in November 11th to 12th, Indonesian Navy TNI deployed 2 warships, Karai Usman Harun 359 and Karai Diponegoro 365. HMIS Sirius 266 and HMIS Arunta 151 arrived at Jamrut Pier at Tanjung Perak on Monday and would return to their home country after the exercise. On Tuesday, the commander of Division 2 of the Army Strategic Reserve Command, Major General Ganip Warsito, saw off a swift unit of PPPRC elements involved in the sea task force ships Karai Makassar 590, Karai Sultan Hasanuddin 366, and Karai Tombak 629 at the Eastern Fleet Command Pier at Ujung, Surabaya, East Java. On Thursday, November 12, 2015, Indonesian people are expected to support the state defense program being carried out by the government. The program is meant to increase the nationalism and discipline of the people. It is expected to have more participants every year. This was said by Director of Defending the State of General Directorate of Defense Potensi of the Indonesian Defense Ministry, First Admiral M. Faisal, to RRI World Service in Jakarta on Thursday.
Kita menghimbau kepada seluruh masyarakat agar ikut mendukung program ini dan
we called on all the people of Indonesia to support this program. The participants who joined the ongoing program have high enthusiasm. It has run for 2 up to 3 weeks. It can give much change for their lives, such discipline, mental, and they care for the environment. The government hold the program in 45 regions. Then there are 100 participants in each region do the activities. They come from other regions. It is expected that from 514 regions across Indonesia have coach cadres of state defending in 2016. They can start to train the young cadres for 3 up to 5 days. The government expects that the participants will be more and more. Moreover, Director of the Defending State, First Admiral TNI M. Faisal, also said that defense state program that is currently being carried out is to produce coach cadres. They come from the educational background, such as teachers from elementary school up to universities, public figures from many communities, and various professions. They are expected to be the coaches to train new generations of defense state program in their districts. On the same day, Thursday, Indonesian President Joko Widodo expressed gratitude to Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull for lending assistance in handling land and forest fires. President Joko Widodo, accompanied by First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo, received the visiting Australian Prime Minister and his wife Lucy at the State Palace in Jakarta on Thursday. On the occasion, President Joko Widodo also praised the opening of the Consulate General of Australia in Makassar, South Sulawesi. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull said that Australia and Indonesia have shared a close friendship for the past 7 decades. He affirmed that Australia had provided diplomatic support to Indonesia after it gained independence. Moreover, he underlined the Lombok Treaty that symbolizes and formalizes the mutually beneficial relationship between the two countries. Earlier, the Australian government had intensified its contribution to Indonesia's effort to mitigate the effects and spread of forest and peat fires, which have caused widespread health issues across Indonesia. On Friday, November 13, 2015, Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that the government is committed to restoring Indonesia's peatlands and forests in 5 years. He said Indonesia had made mistakes in the past in allocating permits to utilize the forest, causing forest degradation that led to forest fires and haze that are suffered very badly this year. International experts and representatives of foreign countries and donors gathered in the Shangri-La Hotel in Jakarta on Friday for an intensive discussion to identify a pathway for a long-term solution to Indonesia's fire and haze crisis. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that Indonesia invites everyone to find solutions together, adding that the government will allocate appropriate budgets and will also ask corporations to bear the common responsibility. That was the Weekend Review.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by news across the country, Today in History, Highlight of the Week, Week in Review, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miss Eleni. We'll conclude our program for today with Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is Era Reward Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesia's tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I will take you to Batu Dinding Beach in Bangka Island. So stay tuned at Era Reward Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Bangka Belitung, or often abbreviated Bubble Islands, is one of the youngest provinces in Indonesia. As the name indicates it, the province consists of beautiful two big islands, namely Bangka and Belitung Islands, plus some small islands, all with beautiful beaches. If you have the opportunity to visit Bangka Island, for instance, I recommend to find time to visit Batu Dinding Beach, which is located in Mantung Village, Belinyu, Bangka Regency. It is approximately 3 kilometers from Port Belinyu. The beach location is practically next to Port Mantung, which is owned by PT Timah, a government-owned tin mining company, and not far from Port Tanjung Gudang in Belinyu. Not many people know about the existence of this Batu Dinding Beach because, in addition to its location, which is somewhat hidden, there isn't any sign directing to the location of Batu Dinding Beach. Batu Dinding means wall stone in English. From the name alone, it can be seen that this beach must have certain uniqueness. Indeed, on this beach there is a large granite stone which stands upright on the other stones. This is the reason why it is called Batu Dinding or wall stone beach. The stone has a size of about 2 times 15 meters with a thickness of approximately 5 meters. In addition to the stone or rock wall, right in front of it, there is a stone called Batu Pari or stingray stone, which has the shape like a stingray fish with a long tail. Not only has stones with unique forms, this beach also has a pleasantly cool atmosphere. Many coconut trees that grow around the beach adds to its scenic beauty. There are tin miners' ships in the waters around the beach, which is another sight that can be enjoyed by visitors. Besides, to the left of the beach, there is a pier where fishermen anchored their vessels. Indeed, it is a very beautiful scenery. Batu Dinding Beach area is not axis around the giant stones. Meanwhile, there is a hill directly facing the sea. Unlike most beaches in Indonesia, Batu Dinding is not a white sandy beach due to the contours of the coast, which is rocky and steep. In fact, the main attraction is the giant rock that resembles a wall, that is Batu Dinding or a wall stone. Visitors cannot swim or bathe because the water under is muddy. Visitors often climb to the base of the giant stone, but you cannot climb to the top because of its position, which is perpendicular and no stepping place whatsoever. On top of the hill, there is a small villa that can be used to relax. From here, you can enjoy the beauty of a vast ocean. This place is often used by couples to take pre-wed pictures. To get to Batu Dinding is a small adventure because the small road is not paved and also passes through a village. You also need to ask a lot of people around due to the absence of signboards or directions. It is advisable to use the service of a guide or come with a friend who is already familiar with the area around Belinyu. Visitors' vehicles can be parked at the end of the unpaved road near Batu Dinding Villa. Bintang pantai laju menangis. Indonesian Wonder over Voice of Indonesia featuring Batu Dinding Beach in Bangka Belitung Islands. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be about anti-pollution smoke mask invented by University of Gajah Mada researchers. So stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. In the last few months, a number of regions in Indonesia, particularly in Sumatra and Kalimantan, have been stricken by haze caused by forest and land fires. Various attempts have been made to overcome it. In addition, the use of masks as a safety device becomes a necessity so that people could avoid the risk of various diseases due to smoke, including acute respiratory infections. The situation encouraged some nanotechnology researchers from the University of Gajah Mada in Yogyakarta to develop an anti-pollution smoke mask. Unlike masks in general, this mask contains sheets of nano-sized particles that prevent smoke particles from entering lungs. Nanotechnology is the science and engineering in the creation of material functional structures as well as devices in the nanometer scale. 1 nanometer is 1 quadrillionth of a micrometer, or trillionth of a millionth of a millimeter, or trillionth of a billionth of a meter. One of the researchers and participant of the International Conference on Science and Technology, Dr. Kuatriana, recently said that his research group had made nanofilter membrane to filter out smoke pollution. The mask contains nano-sized filter made of polyphenyl alcohol and chitosan. This mask has been intentionally designed to reduce the impact of forest and land fire smoke pollution to health. The research is still in the laboratory scale and is almost completed. It was planned that this month 10 mass products are ready to be tested in the field. Dr. Kuat said his research group plans to test this mask in Palangkaraya, but smoke there now has begun to diminish. As a result, it is diverted to test how far the smoke particles escape. According to Dr. Kuat, masks commonly used by people in the region affected by haze allow 70% of the particles passes and are breathed into the lungs. While the mask made of nanomembranes can prevent smoke particles from entering the lung except for the air oxygen molecules. He said if this research is successful, anti-pollution mask for the smoke will soon be launched and mass produced at a relatively cheap price. This was done in order to reduce the impact of forest fire smoke pollution that occurred almost every year. To carry out mass production of anti-smoke masks, it's necessary to have tissue membrane nano-sized particle maker or machine. Therefore, he said it requires support from the government or universities to assist this process. The University of Gajah Mada Rector Professor Dr. Dwi Korita Karnawati said nanotechnology research at the university has been growing rapidly. In fact, some researchers have been collaborating with others from abroad. She said the use of nanotechnology in the field of biomedics, among others, is for gamma CHA products for bone replacement material. Well, that was Miscellany over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, which informed you about the University of Gajah Mada researchers invent anti-pollution smoke mask. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia. Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing your reception reports on our broadcast. Well, now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Beroyal Farid in France. In his email, Mr. Beroyal Farid said that he is a singer and a songwriter. He offered his songs to play in our radio. Hello, Mr. Beroyal Farid. Thank you for your kindness to permit us to play your songs. But we are really sorry because we only broadcast Indonesian pop original songs. It is our policy and because we want to introduce our arts and cultures to the world. Thank you very much for your kindness. We'll play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Tahu apa bisa ku bertahan bersamamu, tapi ku tahu satu hal, ku menyayangi dirimu. Memang tak mudah memilikimu. Semua yang kita alami, yang telah kita jalani, semua telah terukir dan takkan terganti di hatiku. Tak mau kehilangan, walau berat bersamamu. Asallah hanya cobaan, ku kan terus bersamamu. Memang tak mudah memilikimu, tapi jangan pergi, tetap di sini.
Listener, now we will reply an email from Dieter Leopold in Germany. He was listening to our broadcast in German language through 9525 kHz at 1800 hours to 1900 hours UTC, and the SINPO was 34333. Hello, Mr. Dieter Leopold, how are you? We are really glad to receive your email again, and thank you for sending your reception report of our broadcast, and hopefully you are in good condition. Listener, you are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. And now we continue to reply an email from Jose Socorro Soeiro in Brazil. In his email, Mr. Jose Socorro Soeiro said that he likes to listen to our transmission through shortwave 9525 kHz. And he is waiting for our QSL card. Hello, Mr. Jose Socorro Soeiro. Thank you for your attention and also your appreciation on our broadcast. Can you listen to our radio clearly through frequency of 9525 kHz? Hopefully, you don't get bored to tune in our radio and to send your reception reports. As your request, we will send the QSL card as soon as possible. But please be patient to wait for it, okay? Well, Mr. Jose Socorro Soeiro, we are looking forward to receiving your next email with your reception reports. Thank you very much. And special for you and also other regular listener, we will play a beautiful Indonesian song. Let's take it out.
Hanya dia yang mengerti aku. Cuma dia yang bisa luluhkan hatiku. Oh, hanya dia yang manjakan aku. Cuma dia yang ada di dalam hatiku. Oh, lagu ini ku nyanyikan untuknya. Hanya sekedar lagu cinta, karena ku tak hanya cinta biasa. Cintaku istimewa. Hmm. merasa istimewa. Hanya dia yang manjakan aku. Lagu ini ku nyanyikan untuknya, bukan hanya sekedar lagu cinta, karena ku tak hanya cinta biasa.
Listen, unfortunately, we have to sign off. We appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia. Or you can also follow our Twitter @voiindonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_indonesia. I'm Anya Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
Voice of Indonesia. VOR. Today's sound.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.